The terrible season of 1974 was the low point of a downward trend in the Southeast salmon harvest that began roughly around statehood. Although 2018 was every bit as bad as that pivotal year, NCERA General Manager Steve Reifenstuhl says it was not as devastating.
But the big difference this year was that the enhancement program was in place, and that really brought the trawlers and the seiners through.
In Crawfish Inlet alone, NCERA saw a return of 3.5 million chum salmon to its release site there, fish worth $20 million to the boats that caught them, and $40 million to the processors who put them on the market. The hope is for just as phenomenal a return in Crawfish Inlet next year. Reifenstuhl explained that crawfish, though extraordinary, was no accident. NCERA has been planning the release there since 2012 and borrowed $5.5 million to expand its chum program in the region. But NCERA's operating expenses are paid by the fishermen themselves in a 3% enhancement tax they imposed after the awful 1974 season.
You think about that graph you looked at in the mid-70s when it was an all-time low, and fishermen are thinking, we should invest our money, the money we don't have, into an enhancement program that's never been tried in Alaska except for in the late 1890s that failed. Let's do that. Let's put our money in. Let's tax ourselves that. Think about the risk that they took.
Reifenstuhl hesitated here in his presentation, choking up a little as he considered the faith placed in an idea by fishermen of that era, many of whom would never fully reap the benefits. And the benefits have been significant. Salmon fishing and markets are cyclical, but the trend has been up over the last 44 years. Reifenstuhl told the chamber that the risk had paid off.
Here's one of our most proud graphs. This is looking at just NCERA. So to orient you, the bottom line with the open circles is what fishermen pay in 3% tax. So every salmon, whether it's wild or enhanced, they're paying 3% of that value, goes to the state and comes back to NCERA or SARA. So in this case, we're just looking at NCERA production. So looking at that 3% contribution through 2016 is $38 million is what they've put in. And then the value they've returned or been returned to them is $257 million or 6.8 to 1 benefit to cost. That's for stock market followers, that's 680%.
Hatcheries are not without controversy. Their impact on the ecosystem isn't understood directly, and when there are failures in wild systems, like Chinook returns to Southeast Big River systems, some wonder if hatcheries are a factor. Reifenstuhl says that all the hatchery programs combined on the Pacific Rim, including Japan, Korea, Canada, and the U.S., release about 5 billion fry into the ocean every year. That's a lot of fish, but it's roughly one quarter of the over 20 billion wild fry estimated to enter the ocean. And Reifenstuhl says salmon aren't the only fish in the sea.
If you look at, of all the nectonic feeders on zooplankton, primarily zooplankton is the target when the fish are juveniles. When you look at that, all the salmon represent 3% of those predators on that prey item. If you take squid in the North Pacific, they represent, just that group represents 4%. So it's a pretty tiny percent.
The other problem is straying, or hatchery stocks returning to natural systems and crossbreeding with wild stocks. Reifenstuhl says that Alaska's hatcheries anticipated this problem by seeding their programs with wild stocks to begin with. Nevertheless, the state is conducting an extended research project to assess whether the fitness of wild stocks is jeopardized by crossbreeding. Although data from Alaska hasn't been analyzed, Reifenstuhl says that research elsewhere has not shown harm, and straying would be difficult to stop since it's encoded in salmon behavior. Everyone knows salmon stray, said Reifenstuhl. It's why we have salmon. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.